Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1. We'll read verse 9 through 11. James 1, 9 through 11. Now the brother or sister of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, but the rich person is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So also the rich person in the midst of his pursuits will die out. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity, God, to come this morning into your presence to pray and to seek your face. God, I pray that you will meet with us, and I pray that you will speak to us through the word. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for your love and your grace upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I just have 3 points today. So whenever I've been speaking, I've been going through the book of James. And we started off with him encouraging the believers to persevere through trials and to consider trials and testing a thing of joy, because it builds perseverance, and that's what we need to grow and to be mature and to be complete. And then he talked about those who need wisdom and how we need to just go to God in faith and pray for him to give us wisdom, and he will give us wisdom. And today he talks about believers in humble circumstances versus the rich whose circumstances is strong, not humble. Okay, so 3 things that I want to say today. First, what I have learned as I've been kind of studying through the book of James for EMP is that James reads differently from what we're used to. When we read through the New Testament, most of the letters written in the New Testament after the Gospels and the book of Acts is written by Paul, right? But James is a different kind of letter than a letter that Paul writes. What Paul often does is Paul is writing to a specific region, specific church, and he is writing about a specific circumstance. So he hears about a situation that is going on in a certain church, and so Paul's letters are usually a response to something that is going on in that church. And so when you read Paul's letters, there is actually there's usually a main idea and kind of this thread that is that you can kind of follow. He like starts off with this, and then you kind of know where is he going with that idea, and it's all connected, and he lands at a conclusion. But James, for the book of James, this letter that James is writing, it's more of a collection of lessons and teachings, not directly referring to a situation, not directly responding to a certain situation that is going on. He's writing to a bunch of believers scattered all around and just giving them lessons and teachings, not necessarily linked together and bringing about one kind of idea. So when you just read this passage, just what we read today, where it says from verse 11, the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So also the rich person in the midst of his pursuits will die out. What Old Testament book does those two verses, is it one verse or two verses, what Old Testament book does it remind you of? Proverbs. Psalms? Does someone say Psalms? It does remind you of Psalms. Psalms and Proverbs is often kind of what James's book reminds us of. And James, one of the big themes of the book of James is wisdom, right? And so his teachings often sound like teachings that we see in the book of Proverbs, sometimes in the book of Psalms, where they're not necessarily linked. When you read a chapter in Proverbs, you're not going to find one main idea that is kind of woven throughout that chapter. It's kind of separate teachings on certain topics, and we're okay with that because we understand that that's kind of how this book is supposed to be read. It also kind of reminds us of the Sermon on the Mount. This whole idea that James is hitting on in this passage about the poor, those in humble circumstances, but they're actually in a high position. Matthew 5:3, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Proverbs passage that I was thinking about is Proverbs 27:24. "For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." So yeah, I just think it's important. I mean, it's helpful to understand that James is going to read differently from Paul's letters and to kind of have a different way of understanding and reading and gleaning from the book of James would be helpful. You know how in the book of Proverbs, the writer would often contrast two different things, the wise versus the foolish, the righteous versus the unrighteous. So that same thing, we kind of see that in James. He will talk about wisdom, but he'll talk about godly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. He talks about faith, and he talks about sincere faith versus a fake faith, right? Faith that is shown by its works versus faith that is devoid of any works, and he would call that a dead faith. He also compares and contrasts the wealthy versus the poor, wealth and poverty. That's the first point. Second, if we can go into the passage, for both the rich and the poor, what James is saying is no matter the circumstance that we're in, James tells us to let our relationship with God be the thing that defines us. It's not just the rich that are tempted to make their wealth and their strength and their success be the thing that defines them. Also, those in humble, poor circumstances can often make that the thing that defines them, that dictates their responses or their feelings and how they're going to kind of live this life. So first, when we look at the humble circumstance, for those in humble circumstances, we can often let that circumstance dictate, our feelings, how we feel about the situation. We can let that circumstance dictate how we're going to respond in this life. We can let that circumstance define our identity. And so this, James is talking about the poor, but I think this can be applied to any kind of humble circumstance that we can think of, whether it's not doing well at your work, or maybe relationally poor, like you're trying to find a relationship but you can't get it, or for me, the thing that I could think of was physical pain. I guess I am getting older. I'm 40 next year, soon, in a few months, 4 months, I'm going to be 40. And I've been noticing more and more that I just get hurt way more easily. Like we played basketball at Staff Retreat on Tuesday, and we had a great time. Thank God I didn't get injured. But the day after, my back was hurting, my knee was hurting, and I just thought, man, what's wrong with me? But sometimes, it wasn't too serious, but there are times when I'm lifting something heavy, I'll just have this crazy back pain or just other areas of my body, my hip, everything hurts. And when I'm in that place where I have this physical pain, well, I mean, number one, it makes me upset. I'm like, hey, it's the pain sucks to have to endure, but I can let that pain, which is a humble circumstance for me, I can let that thing be the overwhelming truth in my life and in my heart. What I mean is, I'm gonna focus so much on that, on this idea. I am in pain. Oh, I am so old now. I don't heal very fast. I just get injured a lot. And then I could just go with that idea of like, what's wrong with me? You know, like just feeling down, letting that be the overwhelming thing of my life and just letting it dictate my emotions. I feel down. I feel like depressed is too strong of a word probably, but you know, I could feel low energy, just like not motivated. Or what I do, this is for me, different people might respond differently, but I will go, I'm in pain. I feel miserable. Therefore, I am entitled to comfort myself. And I feel like I can let go of my responsibilities, or I feel bitter about the fact that I have to be responsible for my kids, or, you know, I can just feel entitled, like, oh, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to read my Bible, I'm just going to watch TV, or I deserve to rest, or I need to rest, I need to relax. And I can let that thing be what defines me or dictates how I live my life. Let that humble circumstance, the suffering or whatever, the trial I'm going through. And James is saying is, no, the capital T truth about who you are is that you have this high position. You have been exalted in Christ. You know, who are you? You are seated in the heavenly place with Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. You are seated, or Philippians, you are seated in the heavenly place with Christ. Who are you? You are a child of God. You know, you're a child of God. You are chosen, and you are known, and you are cherished, and you are filled with the Spirit of God. You are empowered by the same strength, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's who you are. And so James is saying, for those in humble circumstances, what you have to boast about, what you have to focus on and hold on to, be the thing that you're proud about, is not like, don't focus on your humble circumstance and let that define who you are, but focus on your high position in Jesus Christ. You know, what's your true identity? Is you are a mighty warrior. You know, you are a man, woman of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Empowered. So don't stay down, and don't make your circumstance be an excuse, you know, for being lazy or for wanting to take it easy. And to the rich, he says, also, because for the rich, Jesus says, I don't have the reference, but somewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says, he says something like, even when you are rich, life is not about possessions. And I think why he's saying that is because when we are wealthy, often we can make life about our possessions. If we're not wealthy, we don't, you know, we kind of easily recognize it's not about possessions because we don't have anything. But if we have a lot of possessions, as we get more wealthy, as we get richer, we can often kind of be misled to think, or even maybe subconsciously we kind of make life about our possessions. When we are rich, we can often glory, right? Take pride in or boast about what we have, our wealth. And I do want to also connect it not just with physical possessions, being wealthy in that sense, but it could be being wealthy in terms of your talent, you know, or you're really good at something, or you're really successful about something, or you're really strong. For the rich, it's our relationship with God that also defines us. And what that does is it brings both the poor and the rich to an equal level. For the poor, who are often downtrodden, often looked down upon, dismissed, neglected, they are elevated to this high position in Jesus Christ, right? That's our identity. But for the rich, who are often elevated for their wealth, they're often admired for their wealth, admired maybe for their intelligence, for their ability to do so well, for their successes. In God, all those things are stripped away, right? All those things that so easily impress man, God says, I'm not impressed by them. And so they are brought down from that elevated position of their wealth and brought down to their true identity. So the wealth the poor are lifted up, and the wealthy, who are elevated for the wrong reasons, are brought down. And, you know, something that I think about a lot is, I'm very easily impressed with men. I'm easily impressed by people who are successful, who seem very intellectual, who seem very strong. And, I can, like in a bad way, you know, maybe like admire them and think, maybe give them too much credit. But God is not impressed by those things. God is not impressed by Bill Gates, you know, for at least not for his intelligence. He's not impressed by whatever. What's his name? Apple guy? Steve Jobs, yeah. Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, the Amazon guy. You know, God is not impressed with those things. And for God, it's like, you know what I'm saying. He doesn't care about the wealthy, the successful, in the way that we often get so caught up in those things. And maybe it reveals the worldly desire that I have, because it's because I wish I could be like that, and so I'm impressed by that, or I'm impressed by someone who is very successful. But God says, no, I'm not impressed by that. So for the rich, or for the strong, for the successful, for the talented, and you know, most of us are rich in one sense or another. Like, of course, comparatively, we're not rich, like to the really rich, the wealthy of Hong Kong or the wealthy of this world, but in one sense or another, we're successful, we are talented, we are strong, we are rich. We must recognize that God is not impressed with that. God is not impressed with our talents about, music, singing, sports. In Christ, our significance, our validation, our worth doesn't come from these things, what we're good at. It comes from the same thing that the poor find their identity in. In Christ, it's their elevated position, what God says about them, that God loves them, God knows them, He's their chosen. Children of God, seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Those are the same things for the rich. That's where their significance, validation, their worth come from, not the things that make them rich or wealthy. We're loved, we're accepted, we're in the high position in Christ, the same as the poor. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't think, I think one thing that's we can easily conclude, but I think it's a mistake, is to think that the poor are always more godly and the rich are always more ungodly, and the poor is desirable to God, the rich are somehow in sin. But that's not the case. You know, the poor can just as easily be caught up in greed and in pursuing the wrong thing. You know, and the rich can maybe not just as easily. I think there is a truth to that. When you're poor, when you don't have a lot, it is easier maybe to turn to God and to see God and to go to God. But the rich, there are, you know, there are many, many rich people that really love God and not find their identity in their wealth, and God is using them mightily. So I think we have to be careful of that. Okay, so Cardia is going to lead us in a song. Let's meditate on our identity in Jesus Christ. Whether or not, like right now, you might feel down. Your circumstances might be very difficult, and you might feel yourself kind of doing what I do when I, you know, have physical pain. Sometimes you just get so focused on that, so focused on your failures, so focused on your weaknesses, that defines who you are. That becomes the overwhelming truth or reality of who you are. And so let's lay that down and let's allow our Father in heaven to tell us who we are in Him. That, man, we are so strong. Not in ourselves, right? But in God, in Jesus Christ, we're so strong. We have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And whether we feel it or not, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus says when we believe in Him, there's a river of living water that's going to flow out of us. That means we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We are anointed. We are loved. Right now, we're accepted. Loved by God, He likes us, and He's pleased with us. All these things. Let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us about who we are. And for those of us who are wealthy, you know, we're very successful, feel very strong. Let's guard our hearts that we don't place our significance, our worth, our validation in our talents, but that we find it in God and recognize God is not impressed by our talent. You know, we are impressed by our talent, but God is not. And He likes us not because of our talent, because we're good at something, but because we are His children. Let's turn to God this time.
I've tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. You choose someone. Could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are our champion. In you, through you, because of you, we have confidence and we have strength and we have significance, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to know our incredible, you know, this incredible identity that we have in you, like the truth of who you say we are. I just pray that we would be able to live in that, Lord. I pray that we will not live in defeat, not live in poverty in that sense, poverty of our identity. From this place of significance and confidence and strength in you, and pray that we would be able to live in your power, you know, that we would be able to live and experience your power in our hearts, in our spirit, you know. Thank you, God. So thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for those going through cancer. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for strength. If they're going through therapy or surgery, let's pray for just God's hand over them for effective treatment. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who have illness, but also they are in need of salvation. Let's pray for both, that they would be healed, that they would also encounter God, encounter Jesus through this time. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for those with various infirmities. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's pray for those looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision, God's direction. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, Pastor Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin. And let's pray for the church plant in SB Tokyo. Let's pray for Kelly in India. Let's pray for Ange in Hong Kong here. Let's pray for Pastor Jenny and her ministry in Cambodia. Let's pray for God's provision, God's anointing, and leading for all these different people that we support as a church. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's pray for them to hear from God well as they make decisions for our mission fund, our mission work as a church. Let's pray for their personal lives as well. Let's just pray for God's protection, love, favor over them in all aspects of their lives. Local outreach ministries. Let's pray for Tim as he oversees them all. Let's pray for the leaders of each specific ministry. Let's pray. We'll pray also for the people that they minister to, you know, that there will be a lot of fruit that comes out of that. They will experience God through our team ministering to them. So let's pray for these different ministries. Thank you. Let's pray for SP fam. Pray for Cadence as she leads this ministry. Let's pray for all the families that are fostering currently. Let's pray for the children to experience God and to find their forever home. And let's pray that more families and individuals will continue to be added to this ministry, so more children can be taken care of by our people in our church. Let's pray for the Friday night gatherings. Let's pray for both the Friday night gatherings here, IP team, SPU, SP youth, but also the house churches meeting today, all the different house churches listed there. Let's pray for really an amazing time tonight in all the different gatherings we have as a church. Let's pray for all the pregnant moms. Let's pray that the delivery will be safe and smooth. Let's pray that they will stay healthy, the babies will stay healthy, and that they will adjust well to a new life, a big change in their lives. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for who you say that we are. God, help us to connect with you today and live this day in you. God, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.